And let me remind you that Life Matters has a daily newsletter that goes out, and you just have to sign up online. Go to our website abc.net.au/radionational/Life Matters, and you'll see where you can add your name and address, and you just get a daily email with highlights of what's been and what's coming up. It helps you stay in touch, especially if you were used to hearing us at 9 p.m. at night. This will help you stay in touch with what's happening. I know a lot of you are missing that time slot, and we'd like to pull you back. Now look, finally today on Life Matters, are you someone who spends little more than a nanosecond working out what to wear in the morning, or are the threads you're in central to your sense of creative self-expression? Whatever the case, fashion is a cultural tour de force. It's defined cultural movements. It's shaped history. It can be intimate, political, whimsical, and let's face it, downright facile sometimes. From cravats to camisoles, tunics to turtlenecks, hijabs to hairpieces. Today we're kicking off an occasional series, A Stitch in Time, and to get us started, let me welcome Paola Di Trocchio, Assistant Curator of International Fashion and Textiles at the National Gallery of Victoria. Thanks for popping in, Paola.
Oh, thanks, Natasha. It's great to be here.
Big week in Victoria this week. The Melbourne Fashion Festival begins today. You'll be busy.
It does, it does. It actually kicks off this very morning at about 9:30 at Government House.
And in some sense, it's unlike other fashion weeks. The public are really encouraged to be part of this festival. It's perhaps a little less elite, should I put it this way, less, I don't know, le quoi.
Absolutely.
More accessible.
Yes, yes. And that's a really big part of the fashion festival here in Melbourne. So many fashion weeks around the world are actually geared towards retail buyers so that designers can present their collections to retail buyers so that they can then eventually end up in stores and available to the public. But the difference with the Melbourne Fashion Festival is that there's a whole host of programs that are part of what is almost a separate program entirely called the cultural program. Mm. And it includes exhibitions, films, all sorts of events happening around Melbourne in particular. And some of those things can be runway parades in laneways. Just last night there was a runway parade down one of the Melbourne laneways to which the entire public was invited.
Very cosy sort of arrangement, I imagine. Did you go?
I didn't actually. I thought that I'd save my energy for this morning.
There is a whole cultural program. It seems to really take on fashion in all its cultural and political, artistic guises, well beyond the what can be, I guess, a one-dimensional take on fashion that we see on Australian runways.
Absolutely. The other aspect that I really like about it is that it engages with sort of contemporary issues as well as sort of more, celebrating more historical moments too. So one of the exhibitions that opened recently in line with the Fashion Festival is one on Linda Jackson, who's a very important Australian designer that's on at Federation Square at the moment. And then there's also some exhibitions that deal with issues that are quite important at the moment, and their sustainability. So there's one that opened at the beginning of the month called the Red Carpet Project.
Yes, tell us about that. This is interesting. This is part of the PhD research of a woman called Georgia McCorkill.
Absolutely,
really,
yeah.
Challenging the kind of A-list, let's wear something once kind of tradition.
Exactly. And there's all sorts of different ideas around that. I guess there's a lot of pressure on celebrities from the media to constantly be dressed in different things because they get criticised if they do continue to wear the same thing. So what Georgia proposes is that she hand makes dresses, which themselves are actually made out of recycled fabrics. She sources from bridal boutiques. It's not necessarily they're derived from the offcuts of bridal materials. So very expensive, very beautiful fabrics, but of course the way the patterns are cut mean that there's spaces in between. So she collects those bits of fabric that come from those spaces in between, handcrafts dresses, which she then offers to people this week to wear to red carpet events, to wear in the front row, to be seen, and then to return to her so that she can remake them or adapt them or refit them for other people. So it means that these dresses or tops or pieces or whatever they are being worn by different people.
I wonder how many times she could do that for.
I wonder, actually.
Because people put their noses up at op shops and, I never understand why, frankly, but anyway.
Exactly. It's a very sensible environmental solution. It deals with the life cycle of the garment, and it especially since these are such beautiful creations, it's almost unfair to the clothes, I think, to only wear them once. They deserve to be seen over and over again.
There's another sustainability theme here, another exhibition called Nobody Was Dirty. Although I suspect in this case they probably got pretty filthy.
Well, that's the interesting thing.
What's going
actually
on with this project? It was a project that happened over 3 months involving 30 people. What did they have to do?
This is some more research. This is associated with University of Melbourne and the researchers Talia Jack. And she asked 30 people to wear the same pair of jeans either five to 7 days a week for 3 months. And the experiment was to see just how dirty these jeans got.
So not washing them.
Not washing them.
I'm just imagining the collective stench.
Well, I mean, that was the fascinating thing she said. Well, she allowed people to perhaps spot wash, but not wash in the conventional sense, not sort of use water and put them through the washing machine.
Yeah, that'd get pretty fetid otherwise, I have to tell you.
Yeah, but she said that by the end of it, it's almost like the stains evaporated. She was disappointed because the jeans were nowhere near as dirty as she expected them to be. And by the end of it, she described the smell as just smelling human. So they weren't quite as stenchy and stinky as she was almost hoping they would be.
We're not having this vision of, you know, that great scene in The Young Ones where the undies and socks sort of kick up a stink and take themselves off to the laundry down the street.
Yeah, it was all very civilised.
But there's a political story here and an environment, ecological story here, and that is that we are obsessed with laundering. And in fact, you're going to give a presentation of part of the Public Talks program on the history of laundering.
Exactly. And a lot of the questions that she proposes are, is all this laundering actually necessary, or are we taking it too far and is it not necessary? And a lot of her research also is about the idea of inconspicuous consumption, so the consumption of resources and how much are we consuming water and electricity, and is it entirely necessary to be washing all the time? And sure, it's very important to be washing certain things all the time, and it's great that we have access to the ease at which we can wash, because of course historically it was not very easy to wash at all. And there's these... Actually, part of the research that I've done around this has been fascinating because there's these 19th century housekeeping manuals which have got all these sort of potions for how to spot clean wax out of your silk, or how to spot clean grease out of your cotton dress. And it's all about using potato starch or turpentine mixed with essence of lemon.
And we've lost some of that knowledge, haven't we?
Because absolutely,
we go to the shop, we buy a spray, or some people just chuck it out, pass it on to the op shop. Oh, my God, I've got a bit of a stain on my clothes.
And there's a lot of synthetics in detergents now, so all that's travelling through into our water and therefore carrying off into waste plants, and all these sort of chemicals also have to be dealt with as well. So it's a much bigger story than that. Once you start thinking about all those levels that occur because we wash so often.
Paola, one of the other themes at the Melbourne Fashion Festival is this idea of temporality, the kind of temporary nature of fashion, kind of at the other end of the spectrum of this idea of sustainability in fashion, isn't it? What's Penthouse Mouse? This is in its fifth year.
Yeah, this is a pop-up retail store which takes over sort of abandoned buildings or abandoned warehouses, usually for 1 week during the fashion festival. So as you said, they've been going for 5 years, and each year they find this sort of abandoned space that you don't even know is there. And this year it's in Fitzroy, it's in Kerr Street, and it was an aromatherapy factory, and they must have very good relationships with real estate agents, because they managed to just sort of infiltrate these spaces with very little time, usually only about a week to set them up, completely transform them and recruit and commission different artists and retailers to transform this space. And it's sort of part of a something that's been happening in retail probably for the past 10 or 20 years and this concept of the pop-up. So it gives the ability to sort of transform cities and spaces for a very short period of time, and it creates this sort of very invigorating and exciting feel within it. Yeah, absolutely, within a city. So, and I guess because there's this idea that, I mean, cities are never static, of course, but it just helps inject that. And also it suits perfectly the theme of fashion, because fashion is always about this, I mean, just by definition, is about renewal and constant change and constant energy and this freshness. So it just fits right in with that idea there.
Sometimes too much change. I like to buy a few good classics and hang on to them for years.
Absolutely. Now, also a very good idea.
That's right. Fashion is everywhere, it seems. The cultural history of fashion is incredibly popular. You see it at museums and exhibition spaces and gallery spaces all over Australia now. Really
Absolutely.
Interesting
it's completely
kind of
growing.
Angles and textiles, and, you know, it's just taken on a whole other scale of interest. And of course there's an exhibition due to open this weekend at the wonderful Bendigo Gallery, on the Gallery of Art on Grace Kelly. And you're trying to tell me here, just briefly and finally, that she was frugal?
Well, apparently she had an incredible sense of style. She knew what suited her, so she bought very good pieces, but not too many, and she referred to her clothes as old friends. So she wanted to keep wearing them. She developed a relationship with them and she kept them. So there's this wonderful exhibition opening in Bendigo this weekend, and I think it's going to draw some very big crowds.
I think it will too. It's a great gallery space, that one. Look, thanks for joining us to kick off our series, our occasional series on fashion and culture. Appreciate it, Paola.
Oh, thank you.
Paola Di Trocchio, Assistant Curator of the International Fashion and Textiles at the National Gallery of Victoria. And don't forget, you can get in touch with us, give us feedback on anything you hear, send us your ideas, abc.net.au/radionational/lifematters. Leave a comment on any story you hear, send us an email. Or get on Facebook, search RN Life Matters and send us a message that way. And there's our listener line, 02833 1430. Next on the show, our Friday talkback, it'll be a corker. The Independent Inquiry into the Media and Media Regulation is out. Is the Australian media living under a delusion about the job it's doing? What's your view? Do you trust the mainstream media to give you fair, accurate and informative news? Are you hearing the voices and stories that you're interested in? We'd love your thoughts. Give us a call after 9 a.m. 1300 225 76, or 1300 call RN is the number. Look forward to the conversation. Natasha Mitchell, ciao for now.